My friends, maybe things are different here in New York, but in other parts of the country, our Orthodox brothers and sisters study Protestant books. They listen to non-Orthodox preachers. They go to non-Orthodox Bible studies. Avoid all that. I know they are impressive, and they sound good, and they have a lot of truth in them. But the devil will tell you 90 truths, and he will slip one big lie, and that's all he needs to cut you off from the remnant of Christ. Be wise as serpents, and as innocent as doves. Now the big question is, how can we continue to be part of this remnant? How can we live an Orthodox Christian life in a very unorthodox and polluted world? How can we keep from the waves of asevia, or godlessness and delusion, that's engulfing our Orthodox communities? What is the preventive medicine that can keep the members of the remnant healthy today? This is so important. How can we preserve our Orthodox faith and phronima in this ruthless society? Three methods can be used. Coexistence, existence, and isolation. In the method of coexistence, the faithful lives in the world and lives much like the world does. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, much like the saying goes. Much like most of our Orthodox priests and us laity have learned to cope here in America, the tendency of the church to accept and allow just about everything that the worldly congregation wants. We open the doors of the church and ask everybody to come in unconditionally, whatever the people want. What would you like? A dance every other week? Sure. A Halloween party, just like the rest of the Christians have? Sure. Yes, have your Halloween party, but dress up like angels and saints and wear good customs. What else does the youth want? Rock and roll music? Let's try it. Find some of that Christian rock. Let's give it a try. Let's try whatever it takes to please our people, to keep them in the church so we don't lose them. So we don't lose them? They don't belong to us. They belong to God. And we may keep them in the church, but we're going to lose our souls, their souls, and our souls if we don't teach them the truth. So in the area of coexistence, the church runs behind the world. The church has lost its purpose. The church has become lukewarm and secular. This is the trickery of the devil, to have the church keep up with the changes and the hustle and bustle of today's world. The church compromises its principles and beliefs in order to win numbers, to win public approval, and in many cases, to keep the dues or the pledges coming in. And the cunning devil has succeeded in steering this type of church away from its purpose, which is the salvation of souls. The hundreds of innovations, compromises, new twists, in the final analysis, hurt the church, and they do not save. Let's hear what St. Paul says on this issue in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? The above questions of St. Paul define this coexistence. And he says, is it possible to have such a coexistence with the unbeliever, the immoral, or the devil? No coexistence is impossible. We mentioned before of three methods that our faithful use along with the church to survive, and these methods are coexistence, existence, and isolation. Coexistence does not work. Even though the church and we the faithful continue to experiment with this method, it does not work, as St. Paul clearly says. The second method is simple existence. Existence of the faithful in the world without taking part in the ethics and the works of the world, And the faithful strives to influence his environment by his own Christian example as much as possible and to spread the gospel if possible. St. Paul writes to the 1 Corinthians in 5:9, "Do not associate with sexually immoral people and not those of the world. But if any of your congregation members who happen to be a swindler, a drunkard, an idolater, a slanderer, or an adulterer, with such people do not even eat." And as we can see here, yes, we are allowed to judge. This is not judgment. This is simply discretion, and it's done in a way so this person can actually wake up. Once this person feels that he is isolated, he will have a problem with his conscience, and the possibility remains that he will return. But if we continue to tell this person that you're fine, it's okay, God still loves you, then we give this person no chance to return, and we rob him of this great repentance that he needs. So yes, we are supposed to judge according to St. Paul. This type of discretionary judgment will save our skin, and we better do it. However, let's never think for a minute that we are better than these people. No, this is the wrong attitude. We feel sorry for them. We look at these people as victims of the devil, and we pray for them. We pray to God for these people. These are our brothers and sisters, and we better not begin to look at ourselves as higher than them, remembering the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Please, let's not allow the devil to steal our works from the right, as the church fathers say. We will not condemn these people. However, listening to the gospel, we will simply say that for the time being, St. Paul tells me not to associate with you until you pray and ask for God to forgive you, and then, sure, we will become friends again. So you, the Christian, can live in the world and go on with your daily matters. Now, if your boss is a conniver, your banker is an idolater, your attorney happens to be a Mason, your car dealer is a swindler, and they are members of your church, what must you do? What should we do? Yes, we can deal with these people. We will smile and say good morning. You will be polite and pleasant to them. We will cooperate with these people in our community, but we will not have anything to do with their way of life. Nothing at all. Even among relatives, you'll go to the family get-together, Christmas, New Year, picnics, Easter, summer picnics. They will offer you a glass of wine, have one or two. You will laugh with them, talk with them. So far, so good. Now let's play a little poker. No, thank you. Here we part company. No parties, no get-togethers, no dances, no casinos. No, none of that for the remnant. This is the method where we exist in the world. We utilize the world, but we do not become one with the world if we want to hold on to Christ. Yes, and your friends may say, yes, but you used to do some of these things. What happened? You used to love to dance and drink and carry on and live the fast lane. And your friends cannot accept your change. Your own family may be concerned. Do not look back. Our Lord says, remember the plight of Lot's wife. Mnimonave tis gynekos Lot. Do not look back. Let's not look back at our past sins and faults. They are forgiven. Let's learn from them, and let's not get back to that lifestyle. Let's remember what happened to the wife of Lot. She looked back because her heart was enslaved. It was captivated by her possessions. She couldn't believe that her house that she was so comfortable with, the house that she loved so much, this house was going to be burned up. she could not be parted with it. It was not easy for her. And this is why she looked back, and we know the results. And this brings us to the third method of our survival as Christians, that of isolation. This separation or physical isolation is extremely necessary in some instances. God suggests this separation in Isaiah 52:11, in Jeremiah also, and in the second epistle to the Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out of them, come out from them, and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, which means that there are instances where we will choose to isolate ourselves. We will not participate in certain things. No, our kids will not sleep over with their secular school friends, no matter how nice they are, because if you say yes now, what's going to happen when they become 15 or 20? How are you going to be able to say no at that point? No, we will not take part in fashion shows and bingo games, even if they are sponsored by clubs of our church. No, we will not touch these things. And yes, you will be accused that you are antisocial, you are radical, you are weird, strange, a fanatic, my friend. So what? Let them say anything they want. We don't care. We don't care what the others may say. One thing is necessary: to hold on to what we have received, to stay an alive member of the remnant, to be on our way to salvation, to repent truly. My friends, the last two methods of existence and isolation will allow us to hold on to our treasure that we have received. The first option of coexistence or being one with the world is no option at all, and that's the plague of the church today. The Antichrist will come. His spirit is in the world today. His forerunners are in the world today. Humanism, secularism, atheism, Western Christianity, rock and roll, the New Age movement, ecumenism. Unless we fight against the spirit of the Antichrist now and fight with all our might, we will never be able to hold on if he happens to appear in our lifetime. If we detach ourselves from the world, and if we do it now, and if we don't take part in its sinful desires, then we will be able to detach ourselves then. In those days, we may have to physically remove ourselves from our jobs, homes, businesses, hobbies, and only the very, very vigilant and the very alive Christians will succeed, and those of the remnant will make it. Rumors have it that the Antichrist will like the area of New York especially and may start his action from here. And the church will give birth to new martyrs, new champions. My friends, we hope and pray that we hold on to what we received so we can all be awarded the crown that never fades away. Amen. And now we will continue the chanting of the service of the Great Paracelsus from cassette number 20. Chanting is Father Bernardus from the Monastery of Filotheo, Holy Mountain, who just passed in the Lord about 2 months ago. May his memory be eternal.
Προστασία των Χριστιανών ακατέστηντε με σιτία προς τον ποιητή να μετάθετε μη παρήδης αμαρτωλών δε εις αιών φωνάς αλλά προφθασόν ως αγαθή εις την βοήθεια ημών των πιστός κραυγαζόντων σοι ταχύνων εις πρεσβείαν και σπεύσον εις ηκεσίαν η προστατεύουσα η Θεοτό και των τιμώντων σε. Του ονόματός σου εν πάση γέννηση. γενεά και γενεά. Νηστήσω με του ονόματός σου εν πάση γενεά και γενεά. Άκουσον θυγατέρ και είδε και κλείνον το ούσου και επιλάθου του λαού σου και του οίκου του πατρός σου και επιθυμήσει ο βασιλεύς του καλού σου του ονόματός σου εν πάση γενναία και γενναία μνηστήσομαι.
Οδη εβδόμη.
Υπεραγία Θεότο και σώσον ημάς, φως υπτέκουσα Θεότο και σκοτισθέντα με νυχτή αμαρτημάτων, φωταγώγησον σύ, φωτόσουσα δοχείων, το καθαρόν και αμόμον, την απόθωσε δοξάζω. Υπεραγία Θεότο και σώσον ημάς, σκέπη γένου και προστασία και αντίληψης και καύχημα παρθένε, γυμνοθέντη μηνύν απάσης βοηθείας, αβοήθητον δύναμης, και ελπίσα πιλπισμένο. Δόξα Πατρί και Υιώ και Αγίω Πνεύματι, όλη ψυχή και διανία και καρδία σε και χείλεση δοξάζω, απολαύσας τον σών μεγάλων χαρισμάτων, αλλοτήσεις Χριστότητος και απείρων σου θαυμάτων. Και νυν και αΐ και εις τους αιώνας των αιώνων αμήν, βλέψον ηλαίω όματι σου και επίσκεψε την κακοσύνην έχω και δεινών συμφορών και βλάβης και κινδύνων και πειρασμών με νήτρωσε αμετρήτως σου ελέη.
Οδη
υπεραγία Θεότο και σώσον ημάς, διασπλάχνα ελέου σου Παρθένε, μη παρήδεις εμνή ποντουμένων μεσαλοβιωτικών κυμάτων, αλλά δίδουμι χειρά βοηθείας καταπονουμένο κακός εσύ το βίου. Υπεραγία Θεότο και σώσον ημάς, περιστάσεις και θλίψεις και ανάγκε, εύρωσαν με αγνή και συμφορέ του βίου και πειρασμοί με πάντοθεν εκύκλωσαν, αλλά προς τη θύμη και αντιλαβού μου τη κρατέα σου σκέπη. Δόξα Πατρί και Υιώ και Αγίω Πνεύματι, εν δε ζάλες εφεύρων θελημένα, εν δε λύπες χαράν και φροσύνην. Και εν δε γνώσεις ταχύνην βοήθειαν, και εν της κινδύνης ρίστην και προστάτην εν της πειρατηρίης. Και γιν και αΐ και εις τους αιώνας των αιώνων αμήν. Χαίρε θρόνε πυρή μορφέ Κυρίου, χαίρε Θεία και μάνα δόχε στάμνε, χαίρε χρυσή λιχνία λαμπάς άσβεστε, χαίρε των παρθένων, δόξα και μητέρων, αοραϊσμά και κλαίων.
Ο Διενάτη.
Υπεραγία Θεότο και σώσον ημάς, προς την να καταφύγω άλλην αγνή, που προδράμω λοιπόν και σωθήσω με που πορευθώ, ποιαν δε εφεύρω καταφύγην, ποιαν θερμήν αντίληψην, ποιαν εν δε σλήψες η βοηθών. Εις αιμόνιν ελπίζω, εις αιμόνιν καυχόμαι, και επί σε θαρών κατεφυγών. Υπεραγία Θεότο και σώσον ημάς, που και στην αριθμίσαστε δυνατόν, μεγαλία τα σα θεονύμφευτε και των βυθών, τον ανεξερεύνη τον εξυπήν, τον υπέρνουν θαυμάτων σου, των τετελεσμένων δυναικός, της πόθος ετοιμώσει και πίστη προσκυνώσει, ως αληθή Θεού λοχεύτριαν. Δόξα Πατρί και Υιό και Αγίω Πνεύματι, εν ύμνης ευχαρίστης δοξολόγω και γεραίρω το άμετρον έλεος και την πόλην δυνάμην σου πάσιν ομολόγω και τα ευεργεσία σου ας υπερεκένος ας είσαι με Κύριε το μεγαλήνο ψυχήτε και καρδία και λογισμό και γλώσσι πάντοτε. Και νυν και αΐ και εις τους αιώνας των αιώνων αμήν. Την δέησιν μου δέξε την πενικράν, και κλαθμόν μη παρήδης και δάκρυα και στεναγμόν, αλλά αντιλαβού μου ως αγαθή και τας αιτήσεις πλήρωσον, δύνασε γαρπάντα ως πανσθένους, δεσπότου Θεού μήτυρ, γυνεύσεις ετοιμώνων προς την εμηνυκτρών ταπείνωση. Άξιον εστίντος αληθώς, μακαρίζειν σε την Θεοτόκον, την αΐ μακαρίστον και παναμόμητον, και μητέρα του Θεού ημών. την τιμιωτέραν των χερουβίμ και δοξωτέραν ασυγκρίτως των σεραφείμ, την αδιαθώρος Θεόν λόγον τεκούσαν, την όντως Θεοτόκον σε μεγαλύνομεν. Την υψηλωτέραν των ουρανών και καθαρωτέραν λαμπιδόνων ηλιακών, την λυτρωσαμένην ημάς εκ της κατάρας, την δέσποιναν του κόσμου ημνης τιμήσομεν. Από τον πολλών μου αμαρτιών ασθενεί το σώμα, ασθενεί μου και η ψυχή. Προς εκαταφεύγω την γεχαριτωμένην, ελπίς απειλπισμένων σημεί βοήθησον. Δέσποινα και μήτυρ του λυτρωτού δέξε παρακλήσεις, αναξίων σών ηκετών ειν αμεσιτεύσεις προς τον εξού τεχθέντα. Ο δέσποινα του κόσμου γεννούμε σύτρια. Σαλόμεν προθύμωση την οδύνην τη πανιτό, Θεοτόκο χαρμονικός, μετά του προδρόμου και πάντων των Αγίων, δυσόπι Θεοτόκε του ηκτηρίσε ημάς.